This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is my joy to welcome you to this place this morning on this Epiphany Sunday. I'd like to especially welcome those of you who are visiting with us. And if this is your first time, we hope that you have a chance to meet some of the friends sitting around you and that you feel the love and light of Christ in this place. We have a practice every Sunday of signing the registration pads, and hopefully they are already making their way down the row. And I would invite you to sign in and pay attention to the names of the others sitting on the row with you this morning. And maybe there's an opportunity to meet someone new today. I just want to take a moment to celebrate the many ways that the light of Christ was shining through this congregation into our community through the past month. We have offered gifts to hundreds of children in our community. We have provided a warm, safe, and loving place for friends who were living on the streets, as we do twice a week, every week during the winter months. Just so many different ways that God has been using you, and I celebrate that with you this morning and pray that that ministry will continue and grow in the months and years ahead. Just a few other announcements as we gather this morning. Our West End 101 class begins on January 21st during the Sunday School Hour. This is a four-week Sunday School class that's geared toward visitors and new folks, an opportunity for you to get to know more about our congregation and get to know some of our pastors and begin praying about whether or not you'd like to make this your home church. It meets downstairs in McWhorter Hall, again, starting January 21st. Wednesday night suppers and programming all start back up this week, so make your reservations online and join us for really good food and ways to grow in our faith. And finally, for those of you who are parents, if you are parents of youth, ages 7th grade through 12th grade, there's a meeting at 9:45 in McWhorter Hall to hear about summer ministries and opportunities. And if you're a parent of preschoolers and are looking for maybe a part-time preschool program, that registration for our program starts today, and there's more information in the insert. Finally, we as Christians celebrated Epiphany yesterday. January 6th was officially the day of Epiphany. But this is the morning that we gather to hear that story of those wise ones who made their way from a faraway country to worship Jesus, because they saw in him revealed the God of the universe. May we make our journey to this place and open our eyes to see God in the face of Christ, in the face of one another this day.
What star is this with beams so bright, more lovely than the noonday light, to send to announce our newborn King, glad tidings of our God to bring.
Lift up your eyes, O lands of the earth, for the star of the Lord has burst through the night.
We shall lift up our eyes upon his
path. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of heaven has risen upon you.
We shall see and be radiant. We shall thrill and rejoice.
Let us now declare your presence among the nations. Let us acknowledge the darkness in our lives, repent of our sin, and receive the light of God's mercy as we pray in one voice. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen.
As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you have to say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born the King of Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all of the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, and until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, They left for their own country by another road. The word of God for the people of God.
Like many of you, it was about a month ago that we started decorating our house for Christmas. We got our Christmas tree and all the ornaments up and got down all those boxes from the attic and started setting out our nativity sets. I have several. It's one of those things I enjoy collecting when I go on a mission trip somewhere or travel to an interesting place. So I have one from Mexico that I got when I went on a mission trip. I have a really cool one from Uganda that's made out of banana leaves. I have one from Germany that's a little triangle that you put candles in and it spins at the top. Some of you may have those. And then I have the good old-fashioned traditional ceramic one that I got from my parents when they moved out of their house. Well, we were putting up this last one that I got from my parents' house when tragedy struck. We dropped one of the wise men, and he fell to the floor and broke into a bunch of pieces. And my first thought was, oh no, we lost a wise man. Now our nativity set is ruined. But then I realized, you know, it never says there were three of them. Maybe there were only two of them. Maybe now we have the most accurate nativity set of anybody. Did you realize that never in the story does it say there were three? Now, I know we sing our hymns, we three kings and the wise men three, and in every painting ever painted of these folks, there were three of them. But all we know about them comes from these few verses in Matthew's gospel, and Matthew never tells us how many there were. It's a plural word, so we know there was more than one, but there could have been four, seven, 12, 20. We don't really know. And I'm sorry to say, they weren't kings. So when the little crown fell off of the guy, I was like, well, he didn't have a crown anyway. Somewhere along the Christian tradition, these gentlemen, as they were probably all men, were assumed to be kings, and they were even given names. Maybe you learned Melchior and Balthazar and Caspar. But we really know very little about them. What we do know about them, however, can really teach us something. They were magi, Matthew says, from the East. They were not Jewish. They didn't know about the Messiah that the Jews were expecting beyond perhaps word of mouth. They hadn't grown up with the prophets and going to the synagogue and all of that and living in that expectation. They lived in a land far, far away. But they're called magi, which many scholars believe means that they were priests of some sort, perhaps in the, see if you can say this, the Zoroastrian tradition. They studied the stars, and they devoted themselves to the study of the stars and the search for meaning. They were highly educated, probably the most educated people in their society, highly respected, very sophisticated, and yet with all of their learning, with all of their status, with all of their sophistication, they were not satisfied. They still had deep within them a longing for more. Perhaps they searched the skies at night and wanted to know the God who had created such wonder and such beauty. Perhaps they knew deep within them that there was a God who could offer God's self to them, who could be known. And so they searched the skies and they studied and they watched. And so imagine how they responded that night when in the skies there showed up a new star, one that they had never seen before in a new place. Their hearts started beating faster, I can only imagine, and all of them talking together and wondering about this star and what its meaning was. And somehow, in all of their studies, they made the connection that this star was a sign that a king was being born to the Jews. Now, I don't understand why they cared about that. But somehow, they made a connection that the birth of this child was a sign from the God of the stars. And so they set out on this long journey. These sophisticated, highly respected, highly educated folks left their homes and traveled hundreds of thousands of miles following this star because it was beckoning them. And they knew it was offering them an answer to what they were seeking. So they show up in Jerusalem. We know that part of the story. And their questions about the king of the Jews stirred up a lot of trouble. Herod in his palace was deeply troubled by any threat to his power. But this morning, we're just going to leave Herod pacing back and forth in his tower and worried about the threats to who he is. We're going to stick with those wise ones. They got enough information to know to head to Bethlehem. And as they set out in the direction of Bethlehem, lo and behold, there was the star again, beckoning them forward, calling them, and then it stopped. The star stopped. And the story says, when it stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy because they knew they had found what they were looking for. But think about it. There they stood in front of a humble, ordinary house belonging to two peasants in Bethlehem. In Matthew's gospel, it's not a stable, it's a house. But it belonged to Mary and Joseph, so it must have been incredibly humble. Here they've been searching for the meaning to their quest, the sign from the God of the universe, and they're standing in front of this little hovel. And yet, they are overwhelmed with joy. And then they walk in and they see this ordinary baby being held by a peasant girl. And they are not disappointed. Isn't that amazing? These highly educated, sophisticated men who spent their whole lives looking for signs of the God of the universe. And they've been led to this little baby and a peasant girl, and they realize they have found exactly what they have been looking for their whole lives. And they kneel down and worship him. I know it says in our translation that they paid him homage, but that's not a strong enough translation. They worshiped him. They recognized they were looking upon the face of God. And then they opened up their treasure chests and they poured out on this little baby gold and frankincense and myrrh worth who knows how much. And this little baby had done nothing for them, had done nothing yet for the world except to be born. I don't know about you, but every year as I'm setting out my nativity set, I just put up those wise men and don't think about them very much. They're just a little part of the story, sort of these exotic characters from far away. But I think we are more like those wise men than we realize. We too are on a search in a way. Many of us are highly educated. We've studied and studied and we've got good education and all of these things, and yet deep within us we know that there is more to life. There is a longing within us to know God and to be known by God. And so we journey with these wise men, and what we discover is a humble little child born just like us to be one of us and to be with us. So when we discover that good news, are we overwhelmed with joy? Are we willing to pour out our worship of this Christ child even before he has done anything for us? Are we willing to worship him for who he is? And because God has poured out God's love to us through him. And when we offer our gifts, you know, every Sunday we give our gifts and we bring the plates forward and we lift them up. Is that an act of overwhelming joy for us? Because we want to respond to God's incredible love for us with joy and gratitude, just like these wise ones. I don't know about you, but I'm not always overwhelmed with joy when I'm here for worship or when I'm offering my gifts. Sometimes it's more out of obligation or because I should or because Mama told me this is something I should do. May we learn from the example of these wonderful strangers from a faraway land that we too might see in this Christ child the face of God. The answer to everything we seek, and be overwhelmed with joy. Amen.
As we come to a time of prayer this morning, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer requests that you'd like to share, please fill out a gray card located in the pew racks in front of you and indicate if you'd like them to be shared or to remain confidential. You can place the card in the offering plates as they're passed down the pew in a few moments. This morning, we celebrate the birth of Charles Aubrey Moore, who will be known as Charlie. He was born December 21st to Sarah Jane Park Moore and Chase Moore. Let us now offer to God our silent and spoken prayers. Let us pray. Lord of bright and abiding light, you have shown us a new way to live. You have poured your light into the world and have asked us to live in the light rather than in the darkness of doubt and despair. You promise to be our light all of our days and ask us to place our trust in you. So in this new year, O God, we bring to you the names and situations of others for whom light seems to be a stranger. These folks struggle with ill health, economic hardship, broken and damaged relationships, loss of loved ones, and anxiety. We place them in your care, Emmanuel. Let your light shine on them, bringing healing and hope. And help us to be bearers of that light in all we do. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to invite Jeff Hoffman up now. He will offer us a ministry moment.
Good morning. Project Transformation provides low-income children summer and after-school programs run by college-age young adults, providing them leadership development, ministry exploration opportunities. And it provides the site churches in these underserved communities the opportunity to reconnect and build relationships with their neighbors. Since PT began in 2012, they've served over 2,000 children through 231 young adults in 9 churches. As a volunteer in my 3rd year at Antioch's after school program, I'd like to share with you where I see God at work at PT. I see it in the children and their free spirits, their honesty, their lack of holding back anything they want to tell you. Typically matters of joy, but sometimes anger, sadness, and confusion. I see God at work in the brains of these children as they learn and grow. And there is nothing better than being with a child when that which was unknown becomes known and understood. I see God at work in the trust and comfort that builds over time so that there is no fear in confessing to not understanding a homework assignment, and that goes for them and me. I see God at work through the volunteers who generously give of their time, talent, and wealth. The ladies who volunteer at Antioch are truly angels, patient, caring, loving, smart, funny. I feel blessed to have them in my life. I see God at work through the fellows, coordinators, and interns, and in their eagerness to serve. I remember what my focus was when I was their age, and I feel a twinge of jealousy at the path they've chosen. I'd like to grow up to be like them one day. And though I get a bit frustrated at our city school system, I know God is at work in the teachers who are with these children daily. I know it from the stories that the children tell, and I see it in the teachers giving up their own time to attend PT Family Fun Night. God is working through the psych church pastors, and I certainly see this in James Cole, the pastor at Antioch United Methodist, a man of endless faith, generosity, and love for all God's children. I see God at work in the PT administration through their tireless efforts of cycling through, creating, sustaining, and growing these programs, and then finding the human and financial resources needed to make them succeed. Maybe you're on the fence about getting involved, or maybe you've helped a little bit and you're not sure about going deeper. Please don't hesitate to take the next step, whether it be reading in the summer, tutoring after school, offering your financial support. Please join the love, join the community, join the transformation. As we remember the gifts of the Magi this morning, let us offer our own gifts to the Christ child.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy are you, O God, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide the wise to where the Christ child was born. And in your signs and witnesses, in every age and through all the world, you have led your people from far places to his light. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving and overwhelming joy as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as together we sing the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at the heavenly banquet. Now, with the confidence and joy of God's children, let us pray together the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to come to the table today, just a few more words of invitation. First and foremost, this table is for all. Our host is Jesus Christ, and all who are here, no matter your age or denomination or faith background, are welcome to this table. As you come forward, you'll be led by our ushers. Our choir will be served first, followed by our friends in the balcony, then the transepts, and then all of us in the nave will be served. As you come forward, we invite you to kneel as you're able and have your hands open so that those who are serving will know that you have not yet received. You can stay kneeling in prayer as long as you would like. If you're not able to come forward, please let one of our ushers know, and there will be a pair of us making our way through the sanctuary to serve you in your seats. We do have a gluten-free station that will be available right in front of the lectern. And as Jeff shared with us, our communion offering for today is Project Transformation. So we invite you to pray for the children, the teachers, the volunteers involved, and if you feel led, to make a gift in the plates that are placed right at the altars. The feast is prepared. The table has a place for you. May you come with joy to be served with grace. Let us all come forward this day. invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in giving thanks to God for what we have received. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people.
As the people of love, we will serve you with joy.
Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. The light of Christ. May we be filled with joy at what we have received and share that light, love, and joy with all in His name. Amen.
All right.